So I want to talk a little bit about the importance of prior art searching, especially before drafting and filing your application, and how it can come to play in drafting patent applications to withstand the post-grant proceedings. So the first thing that I like to advise my clients is that a patentability search is really important for many reasons. One is that it allows me as the drafter to get a better understanding of the field. In Austin in particular, there's so many new startup companies and entrepreneurs that are looking to invent in a variety of fields, and you might not, as a drafter, have as much experience in every single type of field that you might be drafting patent applications in. So it's great to have that understanding, and also that the inventors may not fully know what patent applications are out there. They may be more aware of what products or services are out there, but not what's actually filed in the patent office. There's a lot of non-practicing entities, and there might be things that the inventors simply are not aware of. So once you have a better idea about the landscape of the prior art, then you can actually tailor your specification and claims in a way that are better able to withstand post-grant proceedings, including the IPR proceedings, later down the road. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to convince clients to spend a little more money than they have to before they even file the patent application. But as we'll discuss later in this presentation, it's a lot more affordable to draft a patent application with a good, robust specification and tailored claims that will help survive post-grant proceedings such that these proceedings will be denied and not even instituted. So one of the most important aspects of surviving post-grant proceedings is actually the claims, not surprisingly. And when we're drafting claims, it's kind of a battle for a practitioner. We're trying to draft claims that are very broad, that can be used for out-of-court enforcement, for the sale and licensing, and even to get the patent itself. But then we're conflicted in a way because, as our litigation attorneys always want, is the more narrow claim scope so that it's harder to invalidate. And when you're in court and you're working with enforcement and defense, and even in front of the PTAB, you know, there's different standards that are being applied, and it's just really a balance. It's an art to draft claims. So in the next few slides, I'm going to talk about some strategies to consider when you're drafting claims that could be very helpful in these post-grant proceedings. So when you're drafting claims, you want to keep your audience in mind. Who is your audience? Is your audience the patent examiner who's you're gonna work with for the next few years to get that patent granted? Is it a district court judge or a jury? Is it the PTAB judges? And you have to realize that with all these different potential audiences, they're all gonna have different levels of technical expertise, and different levels of experience. As an example, if you are keeping the PTAB in mind, you're gonna have a panel of three judges. The judges might be former private practice practitioners, they might be former examiners. They're gonna have different levels of experience and expertise in any given area, and they might not be experts in the field, even though they're assigned to your case. But what they're gonna do is take their experience and focus on the claim language and scrutinize the petitioner's arguments. It is also very common to see in IPR petitions multiple 2, 3, 4, 5 references being used in combination to support an obviousness argument. And oftentimes, these PTAB judges are willing to accept the use of multiple references. And so, in a couple slides, I'm gonna give you some guidance on how to kind of make it so it's more difficult for them to accept that. And another thing, we wanna focus on who is the opponent? Who's the petitioner of the IPR? Well, it's most likely, in 80% of the time, it's gonna be someone who is an accused infringer. So the patent owner filed district court, and now the accused infringer, the defendant, is filing a petition to invalidate your claims. Well, This is going to be someone who most likely has deep pockets and is very motivated. So they're going to spend a lot of resources doing prior art searching and finding really good references that weren't cited in the prosecution history. And they're also going to be able to use expert testimony that's going to frame the claim subject matter as being well known at the time that the application was filed. So these are two very difficult things to overcome, unless you use some strategies that make it more difficult for them to be successful. So the goal of the patent owner is that at least one of the asserted claims survives. So that is the goal, but ideally, it's the denial of institution of the post-grant proceedings, such as the IPR petition. And just one thing to keep in the back of your head is that at the time of institution, the patent is only as strong as the broadest claim.